Tonight we have a young friend, one of our members, leaving for the new world. And I'll call upon him, Elliot Chin. Please come on stage. I'm informed that Elliot is going to pursue studies in Los Angeles, is that right? Have you lived there before? I see, so you were born in America. So it looks like he's going home. Yeah. And the likelihood is he will not return to Singapore again. He reserves his comment. This is to wish you Godspeed as you take leave from us for further studies. What are you studying in the States? Engineering. May thou trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let me pray for you. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the testimony of Elliot, that he has found Jesus Christ as his own Savior. As he proceeds to the United States for further education, may thy Holy Spirit indwell him in a mighty way, that he will seek the highest education, the knowledge of the Most High God. May thou keep him in the days ahead, and may he keep close to thee, seeking always only to please thee. We pray this, asking your blessing on the family. In Jesus' name, amen. I see that you're going to stay in Los Angeles, is that correct? Now, we have two friends, Mr. and Mrs. Lim, and they come from, they lived in America in, I think, about the same area. Will you please see them after this? So, your mother is keen that we introduce a good church. I think they will be in the position to do that. God bless you.
Thank you.
Continue in the series of interesting and very timely studies in the Jewish people, a people called of God. How that God called one person, Abraham. And Abraham believed in God, obeying him, started a line of people, eventually bringing forth the Jewish nation, Israel. This Time magazine front cover, dated 1988, celebrates the 40th anniversary of the founding of modern Israel. A miracle of miracles. For 2,000 years, there were a people dispossessed, dispersed. A people without a country and a land without a people. Suddenly, on May the 14th, 1948, they came into the land and declared the founding of the modern state of Israel. So Israel was reborn. Since then, it has been 40 years of conflict. Since that time, it is another 22 years. So add to 40 is 62 years. Very recently, as I shall show you in the next OHP, this is a map of Israel, and at the bottom left hand tip is the so called Gaza Strip, where the Palestinians who have not emigrated or moved out of the land remain. Today they are confined to this narrow strip of land, holed up by the Jews, not allowed to the freedom of movement. About 3 months ago, a flotilla of boats came purporting to carry needful items for civilian use. But the Jews refused to let them free passage, insisting on customs clearance, which was not given. The result we all know was in the papers. Israeli paratroopers landed on board, killed a number of the crew, and that ended the attempt to try and aid the Palestinians. Who are the Palestinians? If we could use a very simple term, they are the half-brothers or cousins of the Jews, having also descended from Abraham and his other relatives. I shall show this in the course of the next few weeks. They're all blood brothers. But why are they in this predicament? A conflict of no end, no solution, no improvement. Continuing over how long? Can you guess? 4,000 years. And tonight I'm here to trace for you the roots of this conflict. This is a map of the country of Israel. How big is it? Not much bigger than the state of Johor. You know, the state of Johor is one of about 10 states of West Malaysia. Not very big. And the state of Israel is about the same size. North to south, 150 miles. East to west, about average 30 miles. Not a big country. And yet, it is the cause of endless conflict and sorrow. Conflict which involves all the nations. In United Nations meetings, can you puzzle out why? Because this is not an ordinary problem. It was generated from the time that God issued the call to one man. And because he obeyed, the train of events that followed has given rise to an endless, insoluble problem. Here is a map of the Mediterranean. The sea is above here. That's the Mediterranean Sea. Here is Israel in red. Israel in the sea of 160 million hostile and oil-rich Arabs. Not all are Arabs. Iran is not Arab. Neither are the Turks. And so on. But all of them are Muslim, Islam. And all of them are aligned on one common platform. Hate Jews. Dear friend, if there is anyone who does not believe the Bible, I recommend that you attend this series, or if you are busy, to study just the history of the Jewish people and study with an open mind the events that have happened since the call and the obedience of this one man to that call must convince you of the presence of God. For the history of the Jews was written 4,000 years before it happened. Even the birth of Israel 62 years ago. Can you explain to me how it happened? Why it happened? Do you know that salvation is of the Jews? There is no salvation outside of the Jews. The Ten Commandments were given to the Jews. Jesus Christ was born a Jew. And all the apostles came forth out of Jewry. And from them we have the gospel. Amazing. So why do people not want to believe? It is the amazing mystery of mysteries. So, with that as a background, we shall read into tonight's topic. I have entitled it, Trying to Help God. Now that title is crafted. In other words, it is not a simple title. If I say helping God, it is a simple, straightforward. You want to help God do His will, you help God. Trying to help God means you are using your own smartness. And think from a human level. I think if I do this, it will help God. How foolish. God is the God of all wisdom. And He is unsearchable. You want to help God? Come along. Come attend the Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. Bring a friend. You are in so doing, helping the cause of God. Genesis chapter 16. As we read on, you see, we just read not too long ago, about 10 minutes ago, right? I say yes, but I think there are so many other facets of this story that we can learn as we review it. Genesis 16. Now Sarai, before God changed her name to Sarah, Abram's wife, bare no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, similar to your Filipina maid who works for you today. The situation is identical. And her name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abraham, Behold, look now. God hath restrained me from bearing, but, you know, I think He has prepared a maid for the call of God. Why did we leave our hometown? Why? Did not God promise first a land? And secondly, to you, my dear husband, He said, you'll become a nation, a great nation. Amazing. And we pulled out of our hometown. Now, You know, 10 years have flown by, and still no son. What's happening? Ah, Philippina made. Surely this is God's provision. So people jump to conclusion. I'm sorry, it's an Egyptian, not Filipina. Surely God has a will. You know, why did we get this maid? She's presentable and young, fertile. Have her. I pray thee. Verse 2. Go in to my maid. It may be that I may obtain children. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. First, two steps of two radical mistakes. You have a problem, what do you do? Let me ask you frankly, what do you do? You put on your thinking cap and say, ah, this must be it. I say, don't jump to conclusions. If there is a problem of that magnitude, first thing is, go to the Lord, please. If you have not learned this lesson, you have learned nothing. Coming to church, carrying a Bible, posing as a Christian, and not to remember that God is your salvation. In every situation, you need a passport, you need something that you can't get, go to the Lord and pray. And see what He will do for you. Please. That's the first step of faith. As Haggai or Hagar did not take that step. Oh, I mean Sarai. Alright. So she thought, it's obvious, isn't it? All those who cannot get children, if they have a maid, they then adopt the maid to be a secondary wife. And I think that is a very good idea, so says Sarah. And, wonder of wonders, Abraham agreed. Second big mistake. First big mistake, second big mistake, compounded the first. Two of them agreed. Ah, that is a good idea. Using human intellect is not the solution to life's problems. Once again, I say, dear friends, forget not the Lord. He is your all sufficiency. That is faith. Why did they pull out of Ur of the Chaldees? Why? By faith. And because of that faith, Abraham was justified, counted for righteousness. Did he do anything else? Nothing. All you need to do is when God says, come, you come. Remove your house. You do. And in that move, Abraham started in motion an action that brought forth the son of promise. The son of promise was on the way, you know. But God never said, Abraham, follow me. And in 10 years, I will surely give you a son. No, God said nothing of that kind. What did God say? Follow me. Move. And I promise you, I will make you a great nation. Open-ended. God's promises are amazing. According as He says, not as we think. So let not patience run out after a while and say, oh yeah, nothing happened. God is forgetful, you know. Let me inform you, our God does not forget. They that wait upon the Lord will find out. For our God is God of amazing things. There is no searching of His understanding. So, two wrongs do not make a right. Sarah says do, and it it's not difficult for Abraham to agree, you know, to have a second wife. I think who doesn't want? After all, he's in the house. Verse 3. So Sarai took Hagar. After Abraham had dwelt 10 years, and gave to her husband to be his wife. Verse 4, and he went in to Hagar. Suddenly Hagar is promoted without they realizing it. Maidservant became secondary wife. Is that promotion? Amazing. It is a change of status. From the status of a servant, become a mistress, co-mistress. Now Abraham, he got two wives. So she immediately understood Hagar. She's not stupid. So she got pregnant. And when she saw that she was pregnant, wow, I'm one rung above my mistress. She's been married to the husband. How many years? We do not know. 40, 50 years, 60 years. Possible. No, they marry young. How old was Abraham then? 75 plus 8, 10 years, 85. How old was Sarah? 10 years younger, 75. What age did they get married? Average age should be about 20. So 55 years barren. Where are the hopes? How can you expect to have a baby at 55? Answer is, not with men, but with God. See, we have a wonderful God. With God, nothing is impossible, for God is the God of impossibilities. I have written in my autobiography, people told my father, don't you are China potato. You come to Singapore and you expect to be allowed to practice. Your hospital medical school run in Sua Tau. Nobody knows it. It is not recognized. Ah, impossible, right, with men, not with God. That's how he got the license to practice, which became a lifeline for the family of 25 years, that all of us were sustained and educated. God is a God of prayer and impossible things, impossible situations. Then, verse 4, Hagar saw that she was now with child from the master. Wow! And then she began to crow over the mistress. Her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abraham, wow, my wrong be upon you. You see, I suggested and you agreed. What to do now? There's nothing you can do. In those days, they don't practice abortion, you know. So you can run to the abortionist. Anyhow, the whole idea is we want a baby. And now God has given it. Isn't that great? Was it great? It is the beginning of what you saw just now. The confrontation over the Gaza Strip. And the killing of a number of the crew members. That is the long-term fruit of that problem that Sarah began in the land of Canaan. That legacy has come right down 4,000 years. That the enmity and the resentment that was in the heart of the maid, as we shall see, continues right down, because not only that, but as you will see, when Rebecca was pregnant, wow, there was commotion in the abdomen. Because inside her were twins. So she went to God. At least she remembered God. She prayed. God, why is it there is so much unrest? I know I'm pregnant, but why is there commotion every day? The Lord said to her, Rebecca, you're having twins. And they're starting a boxing match inside your tummy. Every day they scuffle with each other. This is already a premonition, a sign that when they come out, they are going to fight each other. Amazing. Who said so? God said so, and it was so. And it is so. Why are the Jews being hated? All the Arabs now, 4,000 years later, this contest is supernatural. It's not natural. If it were natural, it would have died down along the way somewhere. But there has been no let up. The Jews are discriminated. By the way, I'm not pro-Jewish. I'm just telling you facts. And as we go on, you're going to see that God has equal treatment for both Sarah and Hagar. Read on. So, verse 5 says, I have given my maid into your bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised. Now, God judge between you and me. Who is right? Answer is none of them. Neither of them was right. Both are wrong. And two wrongs don't make a right. Now, what can you do? I say you've got to bear the consequences. Disobedience has its consequences. You cannot undo what you have done already. You've got to face up to it, and this is it. 4,000 years later, they're still paying the price of it. 6. Abraham said to Sarah, the maid is in your hand. Do as you please. Don't come and disturb me. So, Sarah began to bully the Hagar until she could take it, and she ran out of the house and disappeared. Can you imagine that? Put yourself in the place of Hagar. Yeah. A young girl leaving home. This is her home. How many years has she been the maidservant? We do not know. But it has been years. She left home in Egypt, followed them all the way to this promised land. And there she works as the servant girl. Now being made life being intolerable, she ran, escaped. For better outside than inside, and suffer all these problems. Verse 7. Then God intervenes. I say, here we see the justice and the compassion of God. God does not just say, I favor Abraham, and therefore I don't care for Hagar. Hagar is given equal treatment. Here is the justice and the fairness of God Almighty. What did God say? God sent an angel of the Lord and found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And the angel said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where did you come from? And where are you going? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. It's not a nice thing to say, but it is a true thing. How nice if Sarah had been kind to her and looked upon her even as a daughter and care for her. Now you are with child from my husband. I'll look after you for a change. Even looking after us. That is love. That is compassion. But both were absent. All there was anger, retaliation. Since you've been trying to climb over my head, now I take it out on you. Until you cannot take it, then you run. how sad. That kind of resentment and bitterness remains a long time. How long? 4,000 years. Please, you see, the present problem is not something that is overnight. The historical and the prophetic continuation of that struggle and that resentment is seen today. Then the angel of the Lord, verse 9, says, return to your mistress, submit yourself. Angel speaks the truth. If you have to suffer a little, doesn't matter. If you have to eat humble pie a little, doesn't matter. Return and do your duty. Your duty is to do your duty. You're a servant girl, be a servant girl. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Here is justice. Here is compassion from God. Our God is never unfair. Even though you may not be a believer, He sends rain and sun to you. Common grace still comes. Amazing. Thank God we have such a wonderful God. He doesn't just favor us. He favors the unbelievers also. Not because of their unbelief, but because of God's grace. And so here it is. Angel says, Hagar, go home. And there, take your place. You're a servant, you're a servant. And be a good servant. And see what will happen. And then the angel pronounces the blessing of God. I say, here it must touch your heart. Hagar, servant girl, also has blessing from God. I will make you a mother of multitude. And I'm going to multiply you exceedingly, and I will bless you. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord said, behold, thou art with child, and you shall bear a son, and call his name Ishmael. Meaning to say what? God hears. Oh yes, your cries in the wilderness are not unheard. God knows your cries, wherever you cry to Him. Even though she was not of the family, God had mercy and pity upon her. Now the prediction of the future for this boy to be born. Verse 12. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Amen. You see that? How the Palestinians, up to today, live in resentment against their Jewish brethren. Why? It's all written here. He will be a wild man. There will be that seed of resentment, anger, hatred. Why should I be treated like that? So unfairly. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spoke to her, thou God seest me. Thank God that even in my desperate state, unwanted and expelled from the house, God does not forget. What a wonderful God. Otherwise, where would we be? I say all of us would be completely deserted and written off, cast away, and God has mercy on us. Inasmuch as He had mercy even on this servant girl. It nowhere does it talk about her faith, whether she really had learned the Abrahamic faith or not. We do not know. Verse 14. Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi, meaning to say, Thou God seest me. That well received a name which remembers the mercy of God, that I was here in the wilderness, alone and helpless, and God came to me. This well will be the witness. Whenever we come to the well, we remember that it is here that God met with me and saw me in my distress and helped me and blessed me with a future. Ah, your future is not all nil, not zero. But God has a plan even for you. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 15, and Hagar bare Abraham's son. And Abraham called the son Ishmael. God hears. Now we'll leave the rest. There's too much. So interesting. And 14 years after, when Ishmael had grown to be a teenager, then came God's promise to Abraham. I will make of you a great nation. Out came Isaac. Ishak. I'm trying to pronounce it the Jewish way. Ishak. Laughter. Ah. And he became the head of the family. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes. Israel, Judah, came out of these 12 tribes. Today, 15 million on earth. As the stars, multitude, innumerable. Isn't God great? Why try and help God and create a problem? When there is a problem, go to Him in prayer. Rather than trying your intellect, your ingenuity, your bright ideas. Surely I know best how to meet this situation. I say, right? Answer is wrong. When in trouble, go to Him in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank Thee for calling Abraham and saving him and having mercy upon him despite his frailty, and on Sarah, that Thou didst bless this old couple and through them brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And through Him, we have found salvation today. Oh, the wonderful provision of salvation of God Almighty for undeserving sinners such as we are tonight, gathered here to hear the story of God's grace to an old man and an old woman. Surely this story must touch our hearts. O Lord our God, help us as we consider further the life and times and experience of Abraham, that we too will be one to the Lord and resolve to be as Abraham, man of faith, and to be called a friend of God. This is our prayer. Bless your people here, that we will, through this week coming, look to Thee always for help in prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.